Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bay.
Vincent the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one-y.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Vincent the Gay or what?
check. Two. Check.
Hey,
it's Vince in the motherfucking Bay. Thank you for joining me for yet another edition of Disorderly Conduct. It is Tuesday, August 27th, 2013. I am your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. I go by Vince in Lay Bay. And I'm very stoked for tonight's broadcast. As you folks know, I haven't been doing a lot of shows lately, and so I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit this week. I'm doing a show tonight with All Shiny, who's going to be with me in a little bit to talk about Op Pen Pal, the NATO 5, and prison support in general. She's a big supporter of jailed activists, and she's been a huge lifeline for members of the NATO 5. So we'll talk to her tonight. Tomorrow night, I have another lady with me. Tomorrow night, Sherry Speak will be with me. She was supposed to be here Sunday, but was under the weather, and it looks like we're gonna get her on tomorrow night to talk about Michael Hastings. We tried to talk about Michael Hastings on Sunday, but we ended up talking more about Barrett Brown. So, gonna try to do this again tomorrow night. It's gonna be an early edition. Super early, probably the earliest show I've ever done, to accommodate East Coasters. And I have a special guest that is supposed to be calling in from the East Coast. So I'm setting up the show early to accommodate that person. But it should be interesting. Sherry Speak is a blogger and writer who has been covering the Michael Hastings story, the story of his life and death. So I'm stoked to have her on tomorrow. We're going to start that show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific. That'll be 10 p.m. Eastern. So if you tune in tomorrow around this time, you will have missed the show. It will be ending the show at this time tomorrow. So once again, make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for a special on Michael Hastings with Sherry Speak and a surprise special guest. And also Friday, Free Ball Friday, will be happening this week. And Nigger Christ in the chat room wants me to do a show dedicated to him. That will never happen. However, I am perfectly fine with the Black Messiah calling in on Friday and freestyling. That's cool. Basically, Fridays are, I usually try to reserve for open lines and just anybody can call in about anything. I mean, anybody can call about anything at any time, but like tonight we have a special guest and set topic. So if you want to call in later, no problem. We'd like you to stay on the topic tonight, but if there's something else on your mind, feel free. I know Syria is pretty heavy on people's mind right now. The conflict in Syria is escalating, and it looks like it might be escalating even more. Barack Obama and his administration are hinting that they are going to do an airstrike on Syria. Not to overthrow the Syrian regime, just to punish them for using chemical agents on their own people. I mean, this conflict has been going on for over a year, I think 2 years at least. And there's been thousands of deaths already. And none of those were a problem. But once they started using chemical weapons, it became a problem. So I don't get that. I just don't get the mentality. Like, I understand that there's certain weapons that are classified as weapons of mass destruction. But where do you draw the line between mass destruction and just destruction? Like, either way, things are being destroyed. I just don't get it. I just don't. This is a total wimp out, compromised move by Obama to just bomb them one time and that's it. That's retarded. What a waste. Is that how we do it? We don't like that somebody's committed an atrocity, so we bomb the shit out of them. And again, I want to know how does Syria pose a threat to the United States national security? I'm not convinced they do. And I'm not convinced they're a threat to our national security. If we start bombing the shit out of them, yeah, then I'm going to think, yeah, maybe they are a threat to our national security because we're bombing the shit out of them. But it's whatever. Okay, really quick, before I bring on my guest, let's go to Nigger Christ. What's up, Nigger Christ?
Hey, well, guilty in the culture, man. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you. Nigger Christ, we're doing a broadcast tonight on prison support. You've been to prison, correct?
Nah, man, I've been up in that prison last week. You know, man, I got to hit up that place, got to check out where old Bradley Mann is staying. You know, I got to get him hooked up with a rat nigga. You know, he going to run up on that boy in the showers, drop some meat on him like a motherfucking loose meat sandwich, you feel me?
So you're looking at this as a business opportunity.
Yeah, man, I got to be turning in tricks, getting them dick sucked. You don't talk about me, it's all about the grind.
Oh, I know it. Yeah. No doubt. For show. So what else, Nate Christ? Anything else? What do you think of Syria? What's going on with Syria right now? What do you think of that?
I don't see how the U.S. government can get mad at the Syrian government for chemical warfare when they've been putting fluoride in our drinking water for years now to try and keep us under the control of the lizard Jew Illuminati. You feel me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's obvious. Come on. Everybody knows that.
That's why they killed JFK, because he didn't want to do what them Hebes over in Israel told him to do, you know? He tried to do his own thing. They got their boy to come up and go, "Oi, we're going to kill him. Yes, we are." And then they done killed that nigga. They done popped the cap in his head right up in death. You feel me?
I feel you, all right.
They done did 9/11 too, man. They done crashed that plane right into the tower because that tower was a bitch ass nigga and he had to go.
Right on. So, Nigger Christ, are you familiar with the NATO 5?
Now, what's NATO? Is that thing with, like, the missiles or something?
Well, NATO plays a part in what's going on in Syria right now. NATO has been monitoring the situation ever since it started. They've been looking for an angle in on this forever, and this is what they came up with. They're like, aha, we got them doing chemical weapons. We got them doing chemical weapons. We have an in now. Like, there's, and if you listen to that press conference today, Jay Carney, the White House spokesman, couldn't give any sort of smoking gun evidence of this happening. There was no sort of slam dunk. It's just, well, we know he has the capacity to do this. We know we have documented proof that he can do this, that he has the capacity, that he's done it in the past. But it's, again, hello, show me the proof. Show me the proof. And you get these wishy-washy, laundry lists of vague references and not a straight answer from these people. It's disgusting. They're just raping us right in front of our eyes. They're making decisions that the people are overwhelmingly not for. This is just like TARP. Everybody said, no, don't do TARP. They did TARP. You know, a lot of people said, no, don't go into Baghdad. Don't invade Iraq. What do? They fucking invade Iraq. They're going to do whatever the fuck they want to do when they get the wheels of power. And it's fucking disgusting. And it's our job to point that out and just become the echo chamber for truth.
Yeah, I feel you, man. We got to bring down the Zionist machine. I see you got a suicide girl coming on the show. That mean you're going to get some titties on here?
No, she won't. She's not going to show titties. No.
God damn. You know, I hear suicide girl.
This is usually Big Titty Tuesday, I know. But tonight, it's not Big Titty Tuesday. Although it would be appropriate because I believe her titties are out there somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I first heard about suicide girls, I done got all excited when I first saw it on the internet. I was thinking, oh man, this is going to be some really good porn. This is going to be some really good snuff films. Two things I can jack off too easy. But nah, that's some bullshit right there, man.
Good times.
Damn right.
Okay. Thanks, Nigger Christ. I appreciate you chiming in there.
Hey, y'all, stay Gucci out there. Black Messiah, best rapper alive. Vince's mama, I'm going to adopt me like Thanksgiving dinner. You hear me?
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with my guest tonight, none other than Suicide Girl Rachel Alshiny. She's going to be here with me to talk about her work doing prison support and helping Mark Neuweem, also known as his nickname Migs of the NATO 5. A quick refresher on the NATO 5. These are five activists who were arrested days before the NATO summit in Chicago last year and subsequently charged with terrorism. Three of them remain incarcerated in Cook County Jail and are awaiting trial. One accepted a non-cooperating plea agreement and served a sentence of 4 months in a boot camp for nonviolent offenders. He was recently repatriated to his native Poland. Go home, stupid Polak. We don't want your kind here. The fifth is Mark, a.k.a. Migs. Migs was also accepted a non-cooperating plea and is serving two concurrent 3-year sentences. And that's also with credit for time served and time off for good behavior. He is expected to go on parole in November. And I'm going to have Rachel on in just a second to talk about the NATO 5 and MiGs right after this message. This is a song by David Rovics. This is, this is music curated by my guest, Rachel Allshiny. This is a track from David Rovics, and it pertains to the NATO 5 protests. And it's called Meanwhile in Afghanistan. We'll be right back.
Everybody stay alert. You've got an enemy on your tail. Use the barrel roll. Do a 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 barrel roll.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
For the nigga who be talking loud and holding his dick, talking shit, he better lay low. For the bitch that said I got some shit up out of my dick, now she sick, she better lay low. For the niggas who be claiming my hood and really ain't for my gang, I hope he don't be thinking I'm just talking and I won't do a thing. Really hope so.
Oh, motherfucking jail. You already know what it is. It's VITB back up in here. Very excited to welcome my guest this evening. She is a writer for Suicide Girls, and just released a blog about our subject tonight, which is, of course, activist work and prison support, and most notably her work with Mark from the NATO 5, also known as MIGS. And so we're going to touch on that and touch on more, hopefully, with her right now. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
How's
Welcome
it going?
To the show.
Thanks.
It's going good. We're doing good. I just had a random visit from Nigger Christ, which was nice.
And I did hear most of that.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently he's familiar with the prison system as well. So go figure.
In a quite different way than I am. So
yeah, I would imagine. Well, he's a rapper. He's a hip hop artist. So it's kind of a prerequisite for him to go to prison.
That's true. You can't have much of a career without some time under your belt.
No doubt. So, Rachel, you are, speaking of the prison system, you are very active out there in Illinois, in Chicago, and I guess you just kind of crisscross the state visiting people locked up. Tell us, give us some a little bit of your backstory, and then tell us about the this NATO 5 nonsense.
Sure. Well, I actually I lost my job in 2011, right around when Occupy was starting. So Occupy was a great place for me to go talk with other people who were having trouble finding employment. And, you know, one of the biggest things that Occupy Chicago had to look forward to was the NATO summit in May 2012. So pretty much from the start, we were planning for that protest. We knew we had people coming in from out of town, but we also had a lot. Like, the majority of the people were from Chicago, from the Chicago area. So we very much also wanted to tie it into local issues. But, you know, we worked with other groups that had already been organizing for that, and we also reached out to other Occupy groups across the country and, you know, offered housing, offered help to people coming in for the summit. So we were very involved. Then there were raids a few days before the summit, and five people ended up, originally more people were arrested and released, but five people ended up being charged with these very serious terrorism charges. And it was actually three separate cases. So three guys are charged under the most serious ones, and then two others were charged separately from different raids. So we had the NATO 5, and I'd never done jail support for anybody. I didn't know where Cook County Jail was. I just knew I never wanted to go there. But I felt very responsible for them because I had been one of the organizers for the NATO summit. because I'd been so involved in getting the city ready for it. And then we have, three of the people were from out of town, and they're stuck here in Cook County Jail over a year later because they wanted to be involved in a protest that we had planned. So I felt very responsible, and I started out by sending books. I ran the Occupy Chicago Library. I figured the least I can do is send them books while they're in jail. I don't know if I realized how long-term it was going to be. But I started with that, and I started writing them letters, and I started going to court dates and slowly started picking up more responsibilities for jail support for them. And you know what? It's not easy work, but it's something that really spoke to me and where I feel I can really make a difference. From there, I've branched out, and, you know, I also started supporting Jeremy Hammond more directly, who is from Chicago, and then some of the bigger cases, Barrett Brown got banned, you know, we have Weave now, and eventually I was kind of, you know, I had a whole network of prisoners who I was writing to and trying to support, and we ended up centralizing it. Sicko and I are the ones who worked on Op Pentel, which started as Op Valentine just to get people to write for Valentine's Day, and then we decided to do it long-term. So it's kind of a central place where you can find out mailing information for political prisoners, updates on cases, you know, other various information that might be useful, but we can kind of keep it all organized. So that's my story.
Oh, damn. I was on mute that whole time. My bad. Oh, I was talking that whole time, and I was muted. And Rachel dropped. I don't know what happened to Rachel. Hopefully, oh, here she is. Okay, she's back. All right, and we're back. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, sorry about that.
Yeah. No problem. I was on mute, and I didn't even realize it. I was talking to you, and you couldn't hear me. And then you left. I was like, damn, she rage quit already. But what I was going to say was, So now you're involved with doing prison outreach for these NATO 5 kids, and most notably Miggs, who's in there right now. Now, am I correct? I have not honestly been paying real close attention to this case. I've sort of had a cursory, interest in it. And is this the case where there was an agent provocateur from the FBI that duped these kids into, like, making a bomb or trying to plot to bomb a bridge?
That was a few weeks earlier in Cleveland. So that's...
Oh, that's right. It was Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In our case, we were infiltrated, but it was on a local level. I mean, I assume Fed's infiltrated also, but we don't know about it. But we were infiltrated by the CPD. So this is actually a case that the state of Illinois is trying, not a federal terrorism case.
Right. And, that's right. He's charged with having paraphernalia, pretty much?
Miggs is actually the only one not charged with a terrorism charge. He was just charged with soliciting explosives for talking with a cop about bombs and how you make them.
It says his charges are possession of symbols and insignia that are unauthorized gang signs.
That's what's going on with him right now. Because he accepted his plea deal, and he's supposed to get out in November. So they had moved him to a medium security facility downstate to serve out like the last few months of his sentence. And he was just trying to keep his head down, try to do his time and get out. And they are within the prison bringing charges against him that fall under their gang policy. So they're saying that he has unauthorized symbols or insignias, which generally means gang signs. But in his case, they're using it to mean anarchist symbols. So they're basically charging him for being in the anarchist gang. And the same for unauthorized literature, which is all anarchist books that people have sent him, essays that he's written. It's all very political.
Yeah, it says here that Miggs accepted a non-cooperating plea deal in Cook County Court to felony charges brought on by interactions with undercover Chicago police officers who had infiltrated activist groups prior to last May's NATO protests. Miggs pleaded guilty to a probation violation charge from a previous felony conviction and to solicitation and attempting possession of an explosive or incendiary device. So he's a repeat offender. He's got priors. That's interesting.
Yeah, all of his priors are assault on police officers, I believe. And you know,
that's not smart. That's not fighting.
No, he admits that none of them were a good idea. But the point in my writing the piece was not to make him out as some angel. He's not. He's had substance abuse problems. He's dealt with, you know, mental health issues. He has prior felonies. But at the same time, first of all, that all made him a target. They target people they perceive as weak. They target people they know they can pressure in certain ways. So you actually need to protect those people. But really my point was to make him human in the article I wrote. You know, I'm not saying he's perfect because he's not, but he is a very interesting, funny, thoughtful guy. He's made a lot of mistakes. But he doesn't deserve to be held in solitary for an extra 18 months because he's an anarchist. So that was my goal.
Yeah, I don't think anarchy, I don't think, to me that's freedom of speech. You know, you should be allowed to read whatever literature you want. Now,
I mean, they allowed all of that literature into the prison. It went through their mailroom. They don't want him reading it. If they think it's too violent or something, they can deny it. So the fact that they allowed it and then charged him with having it is a problem.
Yeah. They can't have it both ways.
Yep. You were saying.
So you've been going and seeing him in prison. He's gone through solitary and back. What's his sort of state of mind right now? Or how's he doing right now?
He is doing better than I am, honestly. I sit out here worrying about him every day. And he, you know, even when you go, you see him, he's behind a plexiglass and his hands and legs are shackled to his feet. And, you know, they've put him in the most restrictive part. And they're treating him like the most dangerous person in the prison, even though he hasn't hurt anybody in his time incarcerated. But he just greets you with a big smile. He tells me about all the books he's been reading, about all the things he's planning to do when he gets out. He's very optimistic. He knows that they're messing around with him, and he's willing to, you know, do everything in our capabilities to push back and say this is unacceptable. So he's very strong, very positive. I'm a mess most of the time, but he's doing great.
Yeah, it sounds like he's had he was in prison for what, a year before he could come back into human contact with his loved ones?
Yeah, he was at Cook County for 11 months, and then he was at Stateville, which is a transfer center, for a month. So it had been a full year where we had not been able to have a contact visit, which lets, you know, everyone's comparing this to Orange is the New Black now. Someone asked me, do you really just get one hug at the beginning and one hug at the end? And I said, if you're lucky. So, yeah, he finally was allowed contact visits when he, after he had accepted his plea and been transferred downstate. So he did get several visits where he was finally able to, you know, sit across the table like a human being and hug people when they come and when they leave. So now that he's in solitary, he's cut off from that once again. But at least we were able for a short time to have nicer visits with him.
So another thing you mentioned in this this article here is how out of touch he was with the news, and he didn't even realize that Occupy died like a year ago. Tell us about that, about how he gets his information.
One of the hardest things about visiting these guys is, you know, they came for NATO, which was one of the high points of Occupy. They were so involved in Occupy. And for the rest of us, it kind of died off gradually. There was never one day where all of a sudden it was over. But for these guys, they're still in jail fighting for Occupy. And it's very difficult to, when they ask what's Occupy doing, to say nothing. And, you know, I try to keep them up to date on other things, other struggles the community is taking part in. We had a big teacher strike in Chicago. We had a lot of protests surrounding the 50 public schools that were just closed at the end of last year. And you know, we're still actually a pretty active city in terms of activism, and it's all stuff that Occupy would have been involved with if Occupy Chicago was still organizing. So I try to send them articles about that to keep them updated. But at the same time, when they ask, you know, what's Occupy up to, you have to kind of say, yeah, not very much right now. So it's difficult. For them, they're still trapped in that time where Occupy was on the front pages, where we were actually being seen and heard, whether we achieved what we wanted to or not. People actually had to pay attention to us for a short while, and it's hard to tell them that that doesn't exist anymore.
So you're involved in doing a lot of this Ops pen pal stuff. You're constantly shuttling stuff to him. You know, I've heard horror stories of, you know, I've had people talk or tweet about trying to get to see, like Weave, for example, or somebody like, there's people like that that are out there that it's really hard, like, it's really hard to get in to see them. And it sounds like you got pretty good access. It sounds like you're able to just show up and see, visit him now if you want to, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of hoops to jump through. It's different also for a local jail. Like the three that are still here are just in Cook County Jail. He's in a state prison. Weave is in a federal prison. So each system has different rules and different hoops to jump through. For him, basically, I had to wait for him to add me to his visitation list. They went through a background check and some other stuff. They have really random dress code, and I wasn't quite in compliance the first time. And, you know, so I did have...
Did they make you wear a bra?
Did
they make
you
wear a bra?
Wear a bra, yes. Every single jail or prison makes you wear a bra.
That's,
I mean, if you're a woman. I guess they're concerned.
They should check for men, too. They should, like, Shadow DXS. Shadow DXS, if he ever visits somebody in prison, he should be required to wear a bra.
We'll make sure they have his name. If this guy shows up. Yeah. So... You know, there's definitely, like, frustrations and issues with getting in, but once you're approved on the list and once you kind of know what that facility is going to be weird about in terms of clothing or anything else, you can, you know, start getting in faster and not having problems with security.
So does he get any conjugal visits at all?
Unfortunately, no.
So, you're a former suicide girl or current suicide girl. Do you ever slip him some of your pictorials for a little inspiration, if you know what I'm saying?
I have never sent him a picture that might not get past the mailroom, because honestly, if he doesn't get it, some prison guard does, and yeah.
No. Oh, okay. All right. We'll keep that on.
I'm not okay with that.
I got you.
But he'll be out hopefully in November if all goes well. So.
Yeah, it sounds like
he'll have access to the internet. Huh?
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. So, what does he have a gag order? Is he able to talk about this stuff? Like, you know, it'd be cool. It might be cool to have him call in when he gets out.
He actually would probably be up for that. The biggest issue is that three people are still facing charges, and they were all interrelated.
Yeah. He doesn't want to say anything. Yeah,
he can talk about some of it, but not really specifics.
Yeah. You know, I kind of hate dancing around subjects like that. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But,
he started writing. So, like, he wrote, kind of manifesto about his experience in jail, why he took the plea agreement, which got him out faster than if he had gone to trial, he would still be sitting in county. And he actually did an interview for a prison zine that I am currently typing and editing. So he is kind of writing more about himself, but he can't talk about too much of the specific case yet.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I've had members of the PayPal 14 call in, and it's really awkward. I don't, you know, they're still in the process of, you know, making the sausage, so to speak. And it's tough. I don't want them to incriminate themselves in any way. I just don't feel like, I don't feel comfortable with people that are in the middle of litigation, you know, commenting on that while it's in progress. Like, I don't want my podcast to be like court evidence, you know?
Yeah. I am very familiar. When you do this kind of work, you end up, there was a while where I was not anybody on anybody's witness list, and it lasted for about 3 weeks. So, you know, I could potentially be called for a witness in a lot of these cases. I know my mail to the prison is read and scanned. I know that any phone calls I have with prisoners could be used as evidence. There was even talk in one case that my email might get subpoenaed. So, you know, doing this work is not, you don't get off scot-free. You're involved in terrorism cases, in felony cases, in federal cases, and, you know, you have to be careful how you talk to them and hope that you're not saying something that could be used against them.
Yeah, that's the one thing I learned. Do not open your mouth unless you have a lawyer and a warrant.
That's true.
Don't open your mouth. That's what I've learned in my time. Thankfully, I have not been incarcerated. I haven't even been arrested, but I am a convicted cyber criminal. People don't realize that. I'm a victim of the CFAA.
You're a victim of the CFAA.
Yeah. I'm a cyber criminal. I'm not a hacker. I'm a fucking
Did you add
hacker.
One to your URL?
No, I didn't go that far. I was a little bit more malicious. But I only ended up with a year of probation and restitution. I just pleaded guilty and got a year in restitution, which kind of fucks things up if you live in the tech capital of the world and you want to try to find a job in the tech industry. All people have to do is Google search, which, you know, all recruiters do. And they see, oh, this guy's in an article with LulzSec and Anonymous. Oh, all right, moving on, next. It's tough, man.
I would hire you.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I would consider that a good thing.
Oh, no, I'm definitely trying to find a way to market this cyber criminal thing, no doubt. It just hasn't. So far, all it does is attract other cyber criminals, and there's not a lot of them out there, at least ones that want to
civilize. Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I think what you're doing is above and beyond the call. I think you're putting your money where your mouth is. I think this is great. I think more people should do this, do stuff like this. I mean, people don't even have to go that far out of the way. It's just a matter of sending a letter sometimes just to you know. I'm sure people in prison, no matter what they're in for, would be stoked on any contact from the outside world, I'm sure.
Yeah, they like letters. If you want to write something personal, you can print news articles. They get their news from whatever TV station is on, which is usually something like Fox. So they can use real information about the world, a postcard, pictures, anything to help make it better for them. And I recognize that for me it's kind of taken over my life and become my calling, and not everyone can or would want to do that. So, you know, all I ask is that you every once in a while remember that they're there, send them something, say we haven't forgotten about you, and, you know, help the cause that way.
And if anything else, do it for the kids.
The kids, yes.
Just, I mean, seriously, if you can't find a reason, just do it for the kids.
That's always a good reason for anything.
Because let's face it, these are kids. A lot of these, like at least the NATO 5, these are kids. They're, you know, they're just...
Yeah, the NATO 5, they're
young,
when they were...
They're young, they're idealistic, they're full of energy, they want to change the world, and, you know, like Bradley Manning. Same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Chelsea Manning. My bad. Please. No,
I wasn't going to yell at you.
Tweets. Save your tweets.
Send hate mail to @VinceInTheBay.
No, don't bother with the tweets. I let's redact that. It's Chelsea Manning. Sorry. Oh my God. But that butthurt would reverberate throughout the fucking interwebs if I didn't quash that right on the spot.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna call you on it, but you called yourself on it.
Oh, somebody else would though. Somebody else would. I had to circumvent that.
Well, hopefully the damage control will work.
No, you know what's going to happen now that I pointed it out? People are going to do it on purpose. So, yeah, here come my mentions.
Great. Have fun.
Man, dude. Well, I'm having fun right now with you. This is cool. Learning about all this shit. Yeah, sounds like Migs is, you know, been experiencing what a lot of activists have experienced. I mean, it seems like almost, you know, any activist that is writing that line of civil disobedience, they're bound to get sucked in and into the system. And it seems like it's happening to everybody. I mean, look at Barrett Brown, Jeremy Hammond, Weave.
Jason Hammond.
Jason, oh, his brother's been incarcerated too?
Yeah, they just randomly in July picked him up, and he's sitting in Cook County Jail right now.
Yeah, perfect. It's always Chicago. You know, it's always Illinois. They're like the most vicious gangster.
But they have me,
world.
So.
Yeah, we need more people.
At least there's someone on their side here.
Yeah, you need to band together. Oh, you should link up with Assert MacFags.
I hang out with her sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think she hates me right now.
Just right now.
She's ignoring me. She's not. She hasn't called my show.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's ignoring me. It's kind of fucked up.
What did you do?
Nothing, dude. I don't know. Maybe she just got tired of me. I don't get it. How could you get tired of me?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, hey, folks, if you want to join us, we got hour number two right around the corner. If you want to talk about the NATO 5 with our guest, activist and suicide girl, Rachel Alshiny. Is that the name you went by or go by as a suicide girl?
I'm going to ask Nicole Powers to tell me how many searches there are for Rachel Alshiny. I'm going to ask to see their stats.
Yeah, I honestly I didn't have time to research enough and dig, but I'm sure. Hey, is Viz Fischow around? Can somebody do me a favor? If anybody can get to the bottom of this and find your suicide girl spread, I guarantee it's Viz. So can somebody please tweet at Viz and see if he can find Alshiny's just something from her pictorial. She doesn't have to be naked. I just want to see. Could just be a headshot or whatever. I don't care. I might have video of you. I don't know. Have you ever come up to San Francisco for WonderCon?
No. No, I haven't.
Damn it.
Sorry.
I have some video.
I thought you were going to say, like, you were here at NATO and you got video of me.
No. I went to WonderCon one year and got some flip camera footage of the Suicide Girls booth and all the girls that were there, whoever they were. I got to dig that up and send it to you guys and see who they are. But I've been on their radio show twice in a row, like a couple weeks ago. That was so much fun. Have you ever been on that?
No. I should. Why have I not been
totally
on that?
Totally should. Why haven't you been on that? What the fuck?
I don't know. I'll call Nicole and they'll be like, what's the deal?
Oh, hey, check this out. Vincent Kershaw from...
yeah, I know.
From PayPal 14. He sends a message saying he loved his postcard. Thank you.
Oh, Vince is great.
That's cool. So you've done outreach to... to whatchamacallit, to the PayPal 14 too?
Yeah, we actually have addresses for them through their lawyers because, you know, we wanted to do it in a way that doesn't dox them completely, even though they're more or less known now. But we don't need to post their home address or anything. So we have it set up so you can send letters to them to their lawyers. And, you know, I do more than just supporting people who are actually behind bars. There are a lot of people still fighting serious charges who are luckily out of jail while they do it. So we want to support them as well any way that we can.
(347) 826-7667 is the number. If you're listening to the show, you feel free to dial that number and say hi to myself and or my lovely guest tonight, Rachel Alshiny. We're talking about the NATO 5 and overall just prison support. She's been, you know, I'm finding out that she's done outreach for all kinds of folks, activists who have been indicted for various things. So did you want to we're going to take a break here, come back and take calls, but while we're at the top of the hour here, was wondering what if people want to send letters or whatever to Migs or anybody else that you do outreach for, how should they go about doing that? Should they get in touch with you? Do you have some sort of link?
Yeah, we have a blog, oppenpal.wordpress.com. We have a mailing list there, guidelines for writing to prisoners, updates on various cases. We have a small section of people who have since been freed, who were incarcerated. Hopefully that will grow. But yeah, we've got a lot of information there. That's oppenpal.wordpress.com.
Excellent. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back with Rachel Alshiny, my guest tonight. We're talking about prison support and Mark from the NATO 5, a.k.a. Migs, And if you want to get in on this, it's 347-826-7667. Back in a minute with Rachel and your calls.
Conduct with your host Vince in the Bay.
Don't quit your day job.
Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti I brevetti della DPL, la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo. Il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali, perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti, sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisibili. Parliamo di rendere autoteo un segnale in gran costo.
These tough fighters are really something else.
Flawless victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
What up, Philly Negro?
And we're back. Hey, 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 it's Vince in the Bay. Shit. Hey, folks. Thanks for coming out tonight. I appreciate folks showing up. I don't think most folks expected a show tonight. And you can expect a show tomorrow, that's for sure. We're going to do a special early show tomorrow, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we're going to, I'm going to have Sherry speak and a special guest. Plus, we're going to talk. Oh, and we're going to talk about Michael Hastings and take calls as well. So join us then tomorrow night right here on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see. I want to do some chat room acknowledgement at this point. I'd like to say thank you to everybody listening in the chat room and participating in the chit-chat, especially Actions, Alcoholic, Becalina, City of Flint, several guest listeners, Interactions, my home skillet, Jay Geronimo in the house. We also have Ninjas in Paris. Big ups to Ninja in Paris, holding it down in the chat room. Okanagan, blah, 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 blah. Thank you for tuning in. The Fire Dog. Vert. What up, Vert? Good to have you here, Vert. What up? X you out in the chat room. Big ups to X you out, holding it down. And last but certainly not least, Your Anus News. Thank you, Your Anus News, for tweeting the show. I really appreciate you doing that. That's very, very kind of you. And anybody listening, if you're on the Twitter, you should tweet about this show. Just copy and paste or use the button on the show page there and tweet out the show. Let's get more people in here. And if people want to take to call in and talk with Rachel and myself, the lines are open. Don't be shy. We're mostly talking about prison support in general, more specifically the NATO 5 and a member of that group known as MIGS. If you're not aware, the NATO 5 are comprised of five activists that were arrested days before the NATO summit in Chicago last year and subsequently charged with terrorism. Three remain incarcerated at Cook County Jail awaiting trial. One accepted a non-cooperating plea agreement and served a sentence of 4 months in a boot camp for nonviolent offenders. He was recently repatriated to his native Poland. The fifth member is Mark, also known as Miggs, who has accepted a non-cooperating plea deal and is serving two concurrent three-year sentences. With credit for time served and time off for good behavior, he expects parole in November of this year. You can read more of his comments on his decision on a link that's at Rachel's blog, and that's suicidegirlsblog.com/blog/prisoner support every moment, a crisis, every moment, a gift. Anyhoot. Yeah, I'm sure if you just go to suicidegirlsblog.com and look up Rachel Allshiny, you can find it. Anyhoot, I'm going to bring back Rachel now. Welcome back, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi. So, are you bored yet? Are you tired? Or
no, I'm good. What's up?
You ready to rock for another hour?
I do the best work. Yes.
Right on. So what else? So what else? What else is on your mind? What else is going on with all this?
I wanted to talk about the one of the NATO 5 for a minute who is actually out now.
Oh, yeah, the kid from Poland?
Yeah, the kid. His name's Sebastian. We call him Savi. And he...
Savi.
Yeah, his charge was...
Wasabi? Is that what you say? Wasabi, homie?
Yeah, he actually does use that as a nickname sometimes. So his charge was actually making a false terrorist threat, which to me sounds like it shouldn't even be a law. Because if you say, I mean, I guess if you made a bomb threat that was really public and really disrupted a lot of things, I could kind of see it. But what they say he did was basically outline plans for explosives, but all he ever told was his circle of friends, which included the infiltrators. So it didn't terrorize anybody. He didn't actually have plans or explosives. He was just talking drunk. So anyway, that was what he was charged with. And then to go from a terrorism charge and get a sentence of 4 months in a boot camp for nonviolent offenders makes me think you're not very scared of him. You know, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had been here working on his green card, but he didn't have it yet. So they sent him back to Poland, and he's actually pretty happy about it. I don't think he wanted to hang around here anymore. So the weirdest thing, though, is that I've spent so much time supporting these guys and seeing them in maximum and super maximum divisions and, you know, seeing them in court, and they're always shackled and behind plexiglass and all this, you know, crazy security stuff because they're terrorists. And then he gets out and goes to Poland, and now, like, we're Facebook friends, and he's just sending me messages and posting pictures of himself. And it's a very weird transition. It's great, but it's very weird to not have any, you know, intermediate step between just being able to talk to him whenever I want. Of course, now the NSA knows that I'm friends of a terrorist on Facebook, so I'm sure they're paying extra attention to me, but whatever.
I think I'm going to – we got a pretty active chat right now. I'm going to put a call out. I'm going to put a call out for questions. Anybody in the chat room have a question for Rachel about anything we've been discussing here? We'll get some feedback from the chat room here.
I'm not looking at it right now, but
you don't want to. It's usually pretty pathetic.
Sure.
Actually, you know, honestly, it's pretty tame right now. People are behaving right now.
I'm usually entertained by it.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly a couple of days ago with Ron Briner on. That was pretty wild.
Wow.
Yeah, that was sensory overload. Let's see. XU Out asks, do the Suicide Girls even feet, though?
Yes, we take special photo sets of just our feet. But you have to pay extra if that's your fetish.
Okay. City of Flint wants to ask... were them guys in Cleveland the NATO 5? He's wondering if that's what I was confused about.
There's a separate set in Cleveland. They started out as the Cleveland 5, but one of them snitched, so they changed the support group name to the Cleveland 4. They're no longer supporting the snitch. That was a federal case. That was supposedly they were going to try to blow up a bridge for May Day, May 1st, so about 2.5 weeks before the NATO 5 got arrested. So that was an FBI informant that befriended them, gave them jobs, gave them places to live. They were basically completely dependent on this guy, and then he talked them into this idea of blowing up a bridge, and they got arrested. So they have now all been convicted, and most of them have been sentenced. One will be sentenced in September. That's another case that we give our support to. And the Cleveland 4 support group is great to work with. And, you know, it was kind of a warning shot for us in Chicago because I remember on May Day seeing the news that they've been arrested a day or two before and realizing how serious they were about getting Occupy activists and making people scared of us. So, you know, you label enough people as terrorists and you link that to Occupy, and all of a sudden we're a bad thing for the country. We're violent. We want to blow things up. So, you know, I started kind of feeling uneasy when I read that case, but I had no idea what was coming for us as well.
Okay, let's see, whatever. What other questions we have here? Follow-up question. Did you see the Huntry Militia in Michigan? They beat the feds. I don't know. I haven't heard of that. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Nope.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Send me a link. I'll read about it.
Yeah. City of Flint. Do you follow City of Flint?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, you should just
do.
City of Flint. Yeah, City of Flint. Just tweet her the link. Yeah. Mention me in the link, too. I'll check it out. City of Flint always has interesting info. He's kind of got his finger on the pulse of Flint, Michigan, which from his perspective always sounds like Beirut circa 1983. Oh, we got the Wikipedia page.
Good.
Do you have the clip notes? Do you have the Encyclopedia Dramatica version? Where is that? Oh, man, how many members are these? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 members? Is that right? Anyway, that sounds like an entirely different show.
Yeah. I'll have to learn more about it.
All right, let's see if we have any other questions. Question, is prison sex all it's made up to be?
Well, I haven't engaged in any. I have not yet. I've heard rumors that conjugal visits exist, but none of the facilities that I've read the handbooks for actually allow them. So I guess the only way you'd be able to do it is if you let a guard watch, which I'm not into.
I'll let
you know if I ever have updates on that.
Yeah, good to know.
Jeremy Hammond wrote me a very funny letter where he explained to me why I couldn't have a conjugal visit with him and that it wasn't his decision. and I have gotten a few sexually explicit letters from prisoners, which are entertaining, and, you know, I'm always nice in response. I know that they're alone and bored.
Oh, really? So you indulge their fantasies a little bit. That's good to know.
No, I don't write that.
Remind me, if I ever get locked up, I definitely want to be pen pals with you.
I would be happy to write to you. But, you know, at the same time, like, you don't want to lead them on and, like, get into some hot and heavy correspondence that, again, the prison guards are reading. But I let them down gently, as it were. You know, not completely
But which I'm sure they appreciate. You know, they're just, you know, they're sexually frustrated and they got a cute chick that's giving them attention. I mean, why wouldn't they, you know, be attracted and interested? To me it's almost natural, but, you know, some people have to learn how to control themselves.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, when you have any kind of relationship with a prisoner, there's no such thing as consensual sex with a prisoner. Even, you know, if you both want it, whatever, but there's such a power differential, even just for me being able to get up and walk out of the jail when it's over. And so them being completely dependent on me for support in terms of books, emotional support, et cetera. So my place as a supporter is not to entertain their fantasies and, you know, lead them on that way. If they're out and free and we develop some other relationship, that would be a different story. But while they're incarcerated, really, there's no way to do it because it's just not an even playing field. Now it sounds like I've considered prisoner sex a lot.
Prison sex. Isn't that like a Tool album or something?
Probably.
Yeah, it sounds like a Tool song.
I'm not that desperate for attention also that I need to feel good about a prisoner.
No, it sounds like you're very... No, it sounds like you're very focused on your work, and you're channeling your energy into a worthwhile cause, I think, and doing some good in the world rather than sitting around on your Xbox, you know, talking shit to people on the internet. I mean, you're out there doing shit.
I do that too.
But you take a break from doing that and.
Yes.
Do in real life shit that feels that seems rewarding. That's good. There we go. 347-826-7667 is the number. I'm Vince of the Bay. I'm hanging out with Rachel All Shiny. She's a suicide girl. She's an activist. She does prison support. She's part of Op Pen Pal. Hey, what are some of the other people associated with Op Pen Pal? Who are like besides like the usual suspects? Like, who are some other people that are part of that aren't don't get as many headlines?
You mean in terms of prisoners?
Yeah. Like,
oh, okay.
Because like you see somebody like I don't know, you know, some of these anons get some fame and are all over CNN, and they parlay that into a rap career.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm just putting out a hypothetical. But, you know, some people...
Well, that individual does not appear on our list. I'll put that
right
out there.
I kind of figured that. But there are probably people on your list that don't have the exposure that other people have. And I was wondering if there's anybody that sticks out to you that you think people should know about that who isn't really getting a lot of ink in the press.
Well, I think one of the more difficult groups to run support for is the Tinley Park Five. They're anti-fascist activists who showed up basically at a white power conference of sorts in the suburbs of Chicago again. A lot of stuff happens here. And so they're charged with basically starting a fight and assaulting people at this meeting. They've all since taken plea deals and basically, you know, accepted the charges for, I think, mostly like 3 to 6 years each. It's very difficult to run support because as soon as people hear that they're violent, they have no interest in it. And for me, it's not the tactic. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about who started the fight, if they came ready for a fight, etc. But that is a tactic that's used in anti-fascist movements to directly confront people who are gathering this way. So I'm not going to argue the tactic. I'm a pacifist. I don't confront people like that. That's not what I do. But these are guys who are, you know, activists in our communities and also deserve support through their incarceration. So I think, by extension, Jason Hammond, who's Jeremy's twin brother, when he was arrested in July, they picked him up and said he was part of this incident, which had happened 14 months earlier. So I don't know yet how they're linking him to being there or why they arrested him now, or if it's a cover for them trying to charge him on something else and they just want to hold him while they do it.
Wait,
I don't know what the deal
name?
Is.
What's the brother's name?
Jason. Jason and Jeremy. I'm not thrilled about the naming choice because it gets very confusing.
Yeah,
in my files.
Yeah. People who are mildly retarded, such as myself, can't keep things straight, you know?
Yeah, it's hard enough for me, and I'm not mildly retarded. But, like, I had a file folder for Hammond, and then when Jason got arrested, I was just looking at it. I'm like, I can't change everything. So I just made another file. It's the other Hammond. Yeah. So, you know, I've had people tell me, many, many people, well, I support Jeremy, but I can't support Jason because he's violent. And it's important to me that people know that the only people saying he's violent are the state. He was arrested and charged as being violent, but it hasn't been proven yet. As far as I know, he was not involved, but I don't know what evidence they have. And, you know, even if it comes out that he did, he was part of using this tactic, it's important to support the people, even if you have a difference of opinion and tactic. So I think anything where it does look like the people involved did something violent is a lot harder to get support for.
Wait a second. Do you have any links for the Jason Hammond or indictment? I don't see it online.
We haven't done a lot of, basically haven't done any press for it yet. He was indicted 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago.
I can't believe that didn't make news, though. That's crazy.
It did. I mean, it did make news.
Really? Do you have a link for me? I don't see anything on Google search.
I mean, it made local news, at least. I can tweet links at you later. But,
cool.
I mean, his arraignment is this week. So hopefully we'll learn more. You know, he had a grand jury hearing, so we have no idea what they're using against him because that's secret. But he'll be arraigned this Thursday, and that's where he'll be able to file a plea and hopefully ask for bond reduction. They're holding him on a cash bond of $100,000. So we have to come up with the full $100,000 to get him out, which, of course, we haven't. But hopefully he'll get that reduced this week so we can get him out.
Wild, wacky stuff. It's crazy how it seems like freedom of speech is under attack right now. You know, people want
it
to
always
call it
has
like a,
been.
People want to call it a war on journalism, whatever you want to call it. I think it's more of a war on alternative news. I don't think it's a war on journalism per se. I think journalism is going to keep whatever way, shape, or form it is going to continue
I'm
on.
Sorry. We heard a lot about Miley Cyrus. I think journalism's okay.
You know what? I saw that. I don't get what was so shocking about that. I mean, that's aren't we supposed to expect these teen idols to like freak out at a VMAs? Like, isn't it every year it's somebody different? Isn't it? Like, it just makes
sense. I thought it was in bad taste, but it's the VMAs, so.
It's the VMAs. I had no interest in it from the beginning, but people wouldn't shut up about it. So I was like, fine, I'll fucking watch this thing. Show me how fucking outrageous this is. And I was like, that's it? Really? She's grinding on stage with her tongue hanging out. Pretending to get butt fucked by.
But it's okay because CNN covered
it. Growing
Pains,
the dad from Growing Pains, you know, his kid. It's like grinding around.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, come on. This is you know, these are the millennials, man. They do it different.
Technically, I'm a millennial.
Jesus Christ.
Older.
How old are you?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Are you legal? Just tell me you're over
18. I'm legal. I was born in the 80s.
Oh, my God. You know what I was doing in the 80s? I was going through acid withdrawals from NOM. Three,
well,
347-826-7667 at Bits of the Bay, hanging out with Rachel. We've got 30 minutes to go. Don't be shy if you want to call in and say hi to Rachel or myself. You have a question, you want to chime in about something, maybe you don't, maybe you want to talk about something else. Syria, it looks like it's going to be popping off pretty quick here. I know that's on a lot of people's mind. What's your take on Syria? What do you think of all this nonsense?
I don't believe in humanitarian wars, just like I don't believe in other kinds of wars. I mean, I don't know how we expect that it's going to turn out any better than any of the others.
I know. And it's almost like they're using the old script. They're instead of WMDs, it's chemical weapons.
It's chemical weapons. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're using chemical weapons. Did you hear? Oh, my God. Chemical weapons. mean, what do we do? What are we doing in California right now? We're using chemical weapons to fight a fire.
Yeah, well, maybe someone should come and save the fire in Palma.
Hey, Assad, bring your chemical weapons to California. We got a fire out here, dude. Help us. Like, why would this guy okay, it's known that UN inspectors were there. Weapons inspectors were already in the country. They've been there for a while. I mean, there's been a civil war going on there for like over a year.
Yeah.
There's UN inspectors in the fucking goddamn country. Do you think Assad is so brazen and stupid that with that going on in his backyard, he's going to just gas the shit out of like 1,000 of his people? I mean, no way. That's fucking lunacy.
Well, I'm not going to rule out lunacy. We do lots of crazy stuff in this country. We don't care if anyone's watching. But
yeah,
either way, I don't think the answer is to go, you know, send them some missiles. Like, how's that going to help?
That was the same, and this is the exact same scenario as weapons of mass destruction. They were in Iraq, they already had UN inspectors in there.
Yeah, we can just roll the tape. DWB.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know.
It's sad. And people are just going to let it happen because they're more interested in Miley Cyrus's ass.
Which, by the way, not even much there.
Yeah. She looks like she's 12 years old. I was not turned on by that at all. I was kind of embarrassed for her, but, you know, it looks like she was on fucking, like, she looked like she was candy flipping or something, man. She had at least been on ecstasy.
Sure.
She was totally on ecstasy. Like, the way she was using her tongue, like that, you know, she was just, like, she was, like, almost in a trance, it looked like. Like, I think she was, like, totally hopped up on ecstasy and just totally just fucking tripping out.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was sad and a bad performance, but that's why I didn't watch the VMAs. So.
Yeah, like I said, I'd never see. The thing is, people are making such a big deal about it. And they're like, oh, I can't believe it.
Right, and then you have to go see it.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? You just shut up about it. I didn't watch it for a reason. I don't need to see it now.
I thought maybe
the way people were acting, I thought maybe she like fucking pulled off her top and, you know, started like pinching her nipples or something on stage. It wasn't even close, dude.
Yeah, I tweeted this at someone today. I said, you know, I wish we could get to a point as a society where we saw something like that and said, wow, can we all try to pretend that never happened instead of just talking about it incessantly?
I mean, at least Janet Jackson showed some nip.
That's true. And the censors didn't get that.
Yeah.
I liked how they censored out her drug reference. Like,
yeah, conveniently.
Right.
All right, 347-826-7667 is the number. You call that number if you want to talk. Press the number 1. If you have a question for me or Rachel, or you want to chime in about something, you call 347-826-7667, and then you press the number 1. And that'll put you in the caller queue. If not, you can call in and listen. There are a few people on the line, but nobody has their hand up. You press 1 to virtually raise your hand, and I'll bring you on. Otherwise, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. My guest is Rachel, and we're just chopping it about whatevs. Back to Migs. What is Migs?
Yes.
What are his aspirations for the future? What is he looking forward to? What are his plans, his goals for the future? Like he's a repeat offender, kind of like Jeremy Hammond. You know, he's got priors. You know, there's no reason why
they're
won't just come back. Yeah, there's no reason why these
kids. Hammonds are friends.
Yeah, they're gonna all just when they get out, they're all just gonna go back to doing what they're doing, and they'll get busted again and go back in. And, you know, as long as they're doing nonviolent civil disobedience and they're getting their point across, I say more power to them. But you know, people can't. The thing that I have a problem with is people who want to, you know, moan and groan about, you know, getting sentenced to anything, you know, when it's obvious that, you know, if we live by laws, you know, these people have broken laws in some cases, and they should atone for that. You know, in some cases, I think it's just outrageous, the sentencing. Like, that has got to be put under review, because, like, look at Bradley Manning. He was up for, you know, people at first thought he was going to get the death penalty or life in prison with no parole.
Yeah.
And look at it, he's up. It
makes
turns out
35 years look good.
Yeah, and suddenly at the end of the day, which I fucking hate that, and I should put myself on mute.
I thought I was going to say.
For 10
literally,
minutes.
At the end of the day.
Son of a bitch,
don't,
dude.
No, you said it first.
No, it's, I know, I need 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Vince in the Bay.
I'll talk. You just hang out. I don't think I can do 2 minutes.
I've given myself 2 minutes for saying at the end of the day. Go ahead, take it over, Rachel.
Wow. So, looks like I have Vince's show because he broke his own rules. This is where I would normally insert my own agenda, except we've been talking about it for the past hour and a half. So, I'll just continue expanding on it. One of the biggest reasons for prisoner support work, as far as I'm concerned, is that they use arrests and harsh sentencing as a tactic to keep people scared from engaging, even in nonviolent civil disobedience. So if we can make sure there's a strong enough support network and, you know, make sure that you know if you go to jail, you have legal representation, you have books coming, you have letters coming, people will show up to court, people will care what happens to you, then it removes the fear of the tactic of arrest that the state uses. And I'm going to also use this time to contradict what Vince was just saying about how some people need to have prison sentences. I'm a prison abolitionist. I don't think, first of all, the idea of locking someone up as a way to make them pay for their sins, I mean, it's not productive for society at all. We have people who break laws. We have laws that are bad and should be broken. But locking someone in a cage doesn't, for the most part, result in them coming out as better people. You can lock someone up on a nonviolent drug charge and they come out and they're a hardened criminal, gang member, ready to commit violence. Very little that happens in the prison system actually helps these people be a better part of society. So the usual argument is, but what about the serial killers? And I say, start with the 70% nonviolent offenders, let's work out ways to help them instead of just locking them up and throwing away the key. And then work progressively towards the more violent people and see what we can do for them. But yeah, that's, I don't know if that's been 2 minutes. But Vince is still in timeout, so I'm still talking. This is fun. I hope that a lot of people have been searching suicide girls for own pictures. Let me know if you find them. But I think Nicole might have them saved in her personal stash. Yeah, I'm running out of things to say, Vince. You got to come back. Yes. Tweet your hate letters to @VinceInTheBay, 140 characters at a time. He abandoned you. I didn't.
I did. That's not true. I didn't abandon. I was serving a time.
Sure, you did. You left me to talk. I'll done this. That's fine.
I'm sorry. It's my bad. I have to. You know, I have to enforce the rules.
I wish I had thought of something funny to say while you were gone, but.
Well, I caught you telling people to send me hate mail on my Twitter. That was great. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm sure you'll get like a higher clout score or something. It'll be great.
I don't pay attention to that. That's like some third party shit. You have to log on and give them your password. No, nope.
But you can find out how important you are.
Dude, they should get 2 minutes for asking for my password.
Okay, clout, you're on 2 minutes timeout.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, people in the chat room, we got 20 minutes to go. Anybody have any other questions for the beautiful Rachel, why we have her here? I mean, this is your shot. Fellas, come on, let's give it up for Rachel.
Let's talk more about prison sex.
Oh, yeah, please. Do tell.
I really don't know anything. I'm sure some people make it work.
Oh, yeah, we can work it. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Late night.
It's time for the day after dark. Oh, yeah. Tonight's episode. BITB welcomes Rachel to the green room. And Vincent the Bay reaches for... Oh! Shit. All right. Cut the music. Done. Thank you.
What did you
All right, I'm done. I got cleaned up and everything. I'm ready.
That was fast.
Quick. Quick, we gotta finish. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we have to. We gotta hurry up and fucking get back to the topic here, dude.
All right.
After I take a little nap. 347-826-7667, folks. Please. Whoa. Okay, you don't have to answer all these, but. Okay, Script Squid has a lot of questions. One is, what happens if you get pregnant in prison? I don't believe Migs is going to have to. I think it's a moot point in his case, but let's say a female activist, which, you know, there's not many activists are female that get locked up.
Well, here's the thing. If you put a mugshot of me in the paper and said she's a terrorist, no one believes it. If they put young men staring down the camera in the paper and say these are terrorists, it's more believable.
It's sexier. I get it. It sells better. Got it.
Yep.
Interesting.
It's easier to accuse them of violence than me.
People in the chat room are saying, like myself, people in the chat room are having a hard time uncovering anything about Jason Hammond's. I can't believe that hasn't been reported at all. That's so weird.
Yeah. It was reported locally, but I think just probably small news items. His support network of, like, his family and close friends didn't want to do media until we kind of had a better idea of what they're saying they have against him. Because, again, with an ongoing case, you don't want to say, like, he wasn't even there, and then you find out they have some evidence that he was or something like that. So I believe they'll be putting out a press release after the arraignment this week, and we might seek press at that time. But I'm leaving it up to them, up to Jason, to decide what's best. But if you want to know about pregnancy, women in prison often are pregnant. Sometimes they come in pregnant, presumably they can get pregnant while they're in there, and it's a pretty awful experience overall. I imagine pregnancy is in general, but I don't know. I've read stories of prisoners being chained to their beds during labor, and of course they don't exactly get to keep their baby in prison with them, so it's a difficult situation. I know I've sat in court where, before the NATO 5 case would come up, you'd see like 10 drug cases go by. And, you know, where they're trying to argue for leniency because the offender has a three-month-old that she's nursing, and, you know, they're trying to keep her locked up. And unfortunately, that usually doesn't get you any leniency in terms of getting out. So, you know, mothers and babies are often separated by prison among all the other problems of locking people up.
What kind of music do you like?
Is that from you or from the chat room?
Yes.
Generally, I listen to, I used to listen to a lot of indie rock, indie pop. Now, some of my favorite bands went mainstream, so I guess just rock, pop.
Wait, what? Which bands went mainstream that you're talking about?
Everyone who follows Van Ferrari knows this. Fun, you know the band Fun.
Fun? No, I'm not familiar with a band called Fun. That's crazy.
They won like a billion Grammys. So.
No, I'm not familiar with their work.
You've heard them. They have We Are Young.
I would hope so. I mean, if your band's name's Fun. And
they're not young. Winning. That's the funny thing. They're like 30, but all right. They were on Glee. Like, their songs were on Glee, and they blew up and won some Grammys and whatever. I've known them for 10 years, though.
What about Tegan and Sarah?
Tegan and Sarah went on tour with them and went on tour with Steel Train.
So you're into dyke music?
I actually met Tegan and Sarah. And that was on
the bus. God. Did you les out with them?
No. Sorry.
you weren't in a Tegan and Sarah sandwich? Or Tegan and Sarah weren't forming a Rachel sandwich?
That would have been interesting. I have a lot. I used to work.
That'd make a great story.
So I have a lot of stories from backstage and tour buses and hotel rooms. But that's probably a different show.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'll have to have you back on, and we can mix it up and talk about whatever, you know.
Yeah, back in the day, I don't know if it's still true, but back in the day, Tegan and Sarah had a rule that there were no shoes allowed on their bus. So they were always barefoot.
Yeah, cool story, bro. Scriptswid also says, My Chemical Romance?
I have seen them play. I did not know them.
Really? Aren't they just DJs?
No. They're... No.
Really? They play instruments?
Really.
They're... Okay. They're like real musicians.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think they broke up, though, didn't they?
I have no idea. I don't follow that music.
Oh, well.
I
hung out in a hotel with the Killers once. That was fun.
Oh, the Killers are a guilty pleasure of mine. I've seen them before.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a song that poses the age-old question, are we human or are we dancer?
Do they ever reach a conclusion?
No, it's a question that almost can never be answered, but you can speculate.
I think that people should write books about that. Make arguments their way. Yeah.
I think we're dancer.
My question is, are they completely mutually exclusive?
I don't know. Let's go to our resident music correspondent, Ole Reuter. Ole Reuter, senior music correspondent, Ole Reuter, can you answer the question?
How the fuck did you know I was calling?
Because this is when you're supposed to call in and give us a wrap up.
Oh, how old's that Rachel chick anyway? Is that your name, Rachel?
She won't say.
Yeah,
she won't say. I'm guessing she's like 23.
Oh yeah, top end 23. I'm thinking low end about
19.
Yeah, okay, we'll go 19. What's the legal age in your state there? You're in California, right?
No, I'm in Chicago. I'm in Illinois.
She's in Chicago. I'm in California. It'll never work. It'll never work out.
She's only about 120 miles away from me.
Oh, that's
if I have to get in my old pervert van with the candy written on the side and drive my ass up there. What grade?
You might want to relocate. Rachel might want to relocate now. I'm sorry. This happens to people on the show.
Chicago's a big city.
Oh, yeah. She's sitting up there sporting. She's about 800 feet above sea level by that big old lake up there.
Feeling it is a nice lake.
There are over 9,000 stories in the Windy City.
9,000? There's no way that could be right! Well, Rachel's one of 9,000 stories. Sounds like Rachel had such a good story tonight that I ran off, farted around on three different shows, come back here, and she was still talking. It had to be a great story.
It was a great story, and nobody else called in.
Oh, really? Oh, hell, if I knew that, I'd have called in the first time I listened.
Yeah, you could have been on this whole time with us. We could have been having a little powwow the entire time.
Son of a shit, bitch. She was talking about prison, and my youngest boy's sitting in jail right now because he likes to drink like his daddy.
Yeah,
and he got drunk, and he stumbled in. He thought he was in his buddy's garage. He goes into the garage and goes to sleep, and they tried to bust him and burn him for, like, burglary and all that shit. And I said, boy, did you take anything out of there? He says, no. I thought I was doing good. So when the guy, like, I'm calling the cops, he says, well, I just made a mistake. I'm going to sit here and wait for him. So they waited, and they busted him, and they laid him up with some shit. And so we paid for a lawyer. I said, listen, dude, one time I'm paying for a lawyer. So we bought a lawyer for him. He got him off, got him out of jail. All he had to do was, like, not get picked up drinking. I said, boy, you want to go out and fart around, you go get drunk, but you call your daddy. When you get drunk, I'll come pick you up. Well, he didn't call. So he wanted to walk 3 miles home drunk off his ass. 20 years old. Do the math. So he threw him in jail again, violated his probation. Now he's sitting in there for 9 fucking months.
Yep, that's how the system works.
He said... And he told his mom, he said, well, I'd rather sit in here for 9 months than to be out there worried if they're going to pick me up. I said, next time, when you go visit him next weekend, you smack him upside the head and call him a dumb fuck. By God. Of course, he ain't killed. He keeps getting in trouble for underage drinking. It's got nothing to do. You know, I just tried to, like get his system used to whiskey at 7 years old. That's all I did.
What's the worst that could happen?
I know. Every time he got promoted, I bought him a case of beer when he go through school and they get promoted to the 8th grade and 9th grade. And I just buy him a case of beer.
That's just good parenting.
It's perfect.
You know, positive reinforcement.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Phil parenting. Shit. Let Dr. Phil look at me. I'll smack that sucker upside the head with this fucking wine bottle. Listen to this. My wine bottle. I'm drinking. This is for you, Rachel. Fucking goddamn jailbird motherfuckers.
Hey, I've never been to jail. Neither of us have been to jail. Thank you very much.
Me neither.
I mean, she's visited a jail, but she's not. She has never been incarcerated.
I've never been held.
Yeah, good. Oh, you need to be held. Were you held as a child?
I hope so. Up to her mama's teeth.
Apparently not enough.
Oh, I'd have held you. Because actually, when my oldest was born, I was lactating myself. And I held.
That would be convenient.
That's gross.
I mean,
that's disgusting.
Well, the kid, instead of having two tits to suck from, he had like two tits and a spare. I was like the mug and button of old.
That's terrible. That's horrible.
I was
not. It's not gross when it happens with a woman.
That's not normal.
Well, Rachel likes she says she liked the Killers. I got 11 songs from the Killers on my screen right now, and I was going to play one for her if she could guess one.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if it's nothing too obscure, maybe.
Oh, who? They only had one, like, album, right? So,
they had a few, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to... I always liked ELO, and I like Mr. Blue Sky. You know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah,
Vince.
Yeah.
Okay, so it... Is that even... Can you hear that?
Yeah, it's really loud, dude. It's really loud.
I turned it down to, like, two. Okay, that sounds like Africa. That might as well be African Zimbabwe drumming playing, like, you know. Shit, the fuck was that? Why don't anybody like some Conway Twitty anymore?
All right, dude. Hey, you know, old Rooter, you showed up too late, man.
Don't mute me. I'm listening. I'll be quiet.
No. You're unmuted, and it's time for final thoughts. What are your final thoughts before we leave the show?
I wish I'd called in earlier, and Rachel, you sound like a smart one. Don't let Vince use you, because Vince is like a whore dog. He's trying to work your pussy.
Oh, come on. Give me a break, dude.
No. I saw, you asked
me. I wish him luck.
Oh, Vince is hot, though. Yeah, I fucked his wife.
Oh, come on. I've never been married.
Well, you know that chick you sent out to Plainfield? Yeah. That's right, Rachel. Google Plainfield, Indiana. That's how far away I am.
What's up, baby?
How big's
your...
Oh, what? Huh? Oh, I didn't say that. My bad. I'm taking a drink.
Yeah. All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to hand it over to Rachel. Rachel, final thoughts before we sign off tonight.
Final thoughts. Support political prisoners. They could be your friends one day. I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better, and we need to have as much support in place as possible. Additionally, good luck finding news photographs of me on the internet. And prison sex, I'll let you know if I have any updates on how that goes.
Oh, right on. Yeah, you'll have to come back and give us an update.
If I figure out a way, I will let you know.
Damn. Sweet.
Also, good luck to Vince if he's really trying to get in my pants, because it's not that easy.
Oh, really? Oh, is this a challenge? Are you throwing down the gauntlet?
No. I would never.
Yeah, you don't want to be harassed by me. It wouldn't be... It would be ugly.
I've got, like, a line of potential. Whatever.
Oh, you already have some gentleman suitors lined up. Yeah, you don't need any more applicants. You're still going through the resumes you already have.
I still take, you know, strong applicants. I consider. Uh-huh. But I've got... But
you got to narrow it down. You're doing okay.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I don't doubt that. Sweet. So do you want to give us your Twitter handle one more time real quick before we sign off?
I am at AllShiny. You can also follow at OpPenPal for prisoner updates. At AllShiny is personal updates and prisoner updates. OpPenPal.wordpress.com. And apparently somewhere on suicidegirls.com.
Sweet. Wow. Well, I'm really grateful that you called in and stuck around for the whole 2 hours. It's been awesome. Thank you for vamping while I was on timeout. I appreciate
sure, just
you.
Don't do it again.
Yeah, I promise. I'll behave next time. Okay, folks, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you for listening. Until next time, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. Remember, I'm doing a Michael Hastings show tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, special early show tomorrow night. If you tune in at the regular time, you're going to miss it. So remember that. Turn your clocks back. You know, remember that this is going to be tomorrow night. 10 p.m. Eastern. That's 10 p.m. Eastern, special early show on Michael Hastings with Sherry Speak. Until then, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Vince in the Bay. Peace out, everybody.
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
Thank
you very nice.